What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Fudge Muppet. I'm Scott here with Michael and Drew, as always. And today on the Elder Scrolls podcast, we are talking all about lycanthropy. That's werewolves, werebears, werebears, anything were, pretty much.
And before someone jumps in and says lycanthropy's only for werewolves, well, this
we know.
Is Elder Scrolls lore. and they changed it to be all kinds of were-creatures and were-beasts. So we've got all kinds of things to talk about today. I guess the general summary is it's a blessing or curse, depending on your viewpoint, given by Hercene, originally at least, to someone, and they can turn into, not always in their control, some sort of were-creature, usually a werewolf. There's been instances of when it involves the moon cycles, instances of when it doesn't. Sometimes it's just random.
It's a similar inconsistencies with the vampires and stuff. Like
exactly. It is very inconsistent. Like the ones in Skyrim, the companions, they can seemingly have full control over it. Perhaps not use it unlimited times like you can with Hercene's ring. I'm not sure, but they will never turn into it when they didn't plan on it.
Because that's what seems weird. Like even in Skyrim, the Sindin character in the Hercene quest.
Yeah, he didn't mean to transform and kill his daughter. Was it his daughter?
He rapidly, randomly transformed. And I don't think it was his daughter, but it was a little girl. But it's like, I think once again, the sort of thing about lycanthropy that makes it so like dangerous feeling or something is that, you know, a moon, it's something outside of your control, kind of like that's the part, like this bestial thing that's taking over, whereas
you're at the whims of a Daedric prince. It's like, you know, we spoke about vampires last week and they're often compared, and I think the main difference is where Molag Bal very much kind of created vampires out of spite, Hercene is very proud of his furry army, and he like you know, if you do well, if you make him proud, if you're a really good hunter, he'll bless you with stronger abilities, which makes, you know, obviously will make things inconsistent or give you artifacts and things like this. So he takes a lot of pride.
Sorry, just to clarify with Sindin, it wasn't his daughter, but didn't he transform because of the cursed ring?
Maybe it could have
been. The ring being cursed does make you transform uncontrollably.
In Blood Moon and in earlier games, it was connected to the sort of like the night cycles and moon cycles and stuff like that, and it was sort of an involuntary thing. And I think you could do it in a way that perhaps if you were like, I feel like maybe if in future games, if they did this to make a more compelling experience, if it was a more random thing that happened to you, but perhaps there are artifacts like Hercene's ring that allows you to gain control over it, or like it kind of like, do you know what I mean? I feel like Hercene's ring feels diminished when it's not actually when it's pretty easy to play a werewolf.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's the companions that contradict the lore, but for example, Sindin actually says, "I'm sure you've heard of men who shift to beasts under the influence of the moons. I am one of them, a werewolf. It's my secret and my shame. That's why I wanted the ring. It was said to give men like me control. Now I may look like a man, but I still feel the animal inside of me as strong as ever." And when he talks about the ring, he basically says, it happens at the worst times. Like Hercene put this curse on it and I could never predict when I was going to change. So by this dialogue, it seems like a werewolf would change based on the moon cycles. The cursed ring made it random. So it could just be in the middle of the day and it just happens at the worst times. And then for whatever reason, the companions just don't have the full moon issues. They're just chilling.
Yeah. I wish they would bring that back. That is something I think would be a cool thing. And even if there was certain like ingredients or enchanted things or something, or all these kind of methods or whatever of getting around it. Like imagine even if there was like, this sounds funny, but like a mini game or like a quick time issue kind of vibe thing or something of you trying it, you can attempt to try and control it. So say if you're in the city and then it's all of a sudden starting, you can try and like, you know, maybe there's a certain amount of things you
like
can
like a Gears of War reload looking thing, and it slides through and you like miss it and you're like no, and then you become a werewolf.
Yeah, it could just be a cool thing, and then obviously then maybe as you get later, like perks later on, it becomes easier to control because you're a more experienced werewolf, that it actually gives you maybe like, you know, a wider quick time thing or like rapid or perfect reload or whatever, you know what I'm getting, like whatever system you use.
Yeah, I mean, the mods have all taken different approaches at it. Like, I know some of them will actually do, like, it's based on the moons, but it's percentage-based. So it's like, say that there's just a slither of moon. They'll be like, there's a 5% chance you turn tonight, which is interesting. But I kind of prefer a more established, like, you know, a full moon, 100%, it'll happen type thing sometimes, whether or not you can resist. But yeah. I feel like giving it a massive anytime vibe, I don't really like that.
Well, it also does fit the theme of the Elder Scrolls. There's a lot of being associated with the phases of the moons. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you have the Khajiit and you have the constellations and all of this stuff. And it is kind of essential to being a werewolf, and it would make role playing a lot better as well. You know, being able to plan your actions and plan what you do based around the time of day and the part of the month you're in, like what cycle the moon is on. You know, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple moons; it can get a bit tricky.
Oh yeah, true. I totally forgot that for a second. Yeah, exactly.
But as we know, like, I think most people's experiences with werewolves would be the Companion's questline, where you voluntarily become one by, like, consuming the blood of Aella in a sort of ritual. But you also see, like, packs of werewolves, you know, on Solstheim, and it's assumed around the place. Like, there's lots
and lots. They're extremely rare, but you can find them in the wild in Skyrim as well.
Yeah.
They're so rare, though. You could go, like, 100 hours and see one.
Yeah. Well, we can I guess too, like, I think, like, this is the coolest part, I think, is we can talk about the different kinds of were creatures and so on. Well, because werewolf is like the poster child.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I'll just say this. My first look at Skyrim was actually seeing the Companion storyline being leaked. It's just a fun little story. I remember, Scott, you showing me, someone uploaded a video to YouTube and it was called layingcarpets.mp4 was the title. And, like, just to not, like, you know, tip it off to the algorithm as being a leak. And it was the part where Farkas transforms into a werewolf when you're stuck and the Silver Hand come out. And we're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, much hype.
Because people were asking about werewolves. And I think he tried to deny. It's like, no, there won't be werewolves. Todd Howard said there won't be. Because there were. He was just trying to, like, keep it low key. But the werewolf is, like, the main one. And the one you see the most. And the people are most sort of familiar with. But funnily enough, for as long as werewolves have been in the Elder Scrolls series, were-boars have been in there since Daggerfall. And were-boars are actually one of my favorites because, like, if you've heard, like, you know, boars or pigs squeal and scream, it, like, if you imagine that in the context of this horrifying creature that's half man, half boar coming to try and kill you and, like, tear you apart, it's, and with their tusks, like, boring into your gut, like, it's just really
it's a lot
creepy.
Less romantic as well.
Yeah.
You know, the transformation doesn't sound quite as nice.
Yeah.
I guess something just for everyone's imagination listening to this, it's good to keep in mind that all these were creatures are hybrids. It's not like Animorphs, where if you're a were shark, you just kind of, like, doodle doodle and, like, turn into a shark in the water.
And you're just floundering
and
on
you
the
just flounder you around. Like, you are very much like a man beast mix. Yeah. You know, like, so the were boar kind of, you know, has a stature similar to a werewolf, but with boar features.
Yeah, and a little pot belly from memory in Daggerfall. But, werewolves are widespread. There, you find them all over Tamriel, but a lot of the others are a little bit more specific and kind of get pushed out. So you have the werebears, werebores around the High Rock, Hammerfell area, Iliac Bay. That's basically all we know them from into the Daggerfall game. So
we should see them.
Daggerfall,
in Elder Scrolls 6.
We should. Daggerfall did introduce, I'm pretty sure introduced, I don't know if it was in Arena, but werebears are in a book in Daggerfall called On Lycanthropy. And it talks about how werebears are in Skyrim and how the locals actually smear cannis root around the trees near their homes to keep the werebears away. And we didn't see them in base game Skyrim, so they must have been pretty good with their cannis root upkeep.
Because, there was supposed to be it says here they're the second most common. But I'm pretty sure originally they were supposed to be, like, the dominant one. I don't know which book it is. What's the book?
On Lycanthropy is a book found in Daggerfall. And when you search werebears, it says...
the most common lycanthrope in Skyrim.
In Skyrim, they're the most common.
But
northern parts of High Rock, the Imperial Province, which you can assume is Cyrodiil, and Morrowind. Werewolves are in every province. The seventh lycanthrope goes on to talk about were sharks.
But the thing is there is just like they obviously like kind of swap that out for Skyrim, and the rationalization now is that they're the second most common just because they're just not there, the werebears. But we got them in Solstheim that you see some of them. But I wish, similar to how we were talking about with the vampires, how I liking some of the peripheral elements about them, or the little like folk tales around them, like inviting them into your house or stuff like that. I like the superstitions surrounding these sort of monsters and creatures and things that I wish they did show and do, like things like rubbing and smearing the cannis root in your home so a werebear doesn't attack you. Like, but we never really saw a lot of that in Skyrim, or those kinds of, you know, superstitions and so on. I wish we saw that a little bit more front on. And I like that when you have those specific kind of herbs or things that affect certain creatures. But
and do werewolves count as undead?
Well, I think they
are the Silver Hand just really, really silly, because they're all wielding silver weaponry and they're werewolf hunters. But the effect for a silver sword is more damage to undead.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be affecting werewolves, but I don't know if it actually does. And then they just made it an undead thing. But you can sort of, you could assume that silver is supposed to, in lore, be more effective.
Because it would have been cooler if they were like using things like cannis root poisons and things like this, you know, that specifically dealt more damage to a were creature.
Yeah, bringing in a little bit more of that sort of, like, obviously Witcher is about a monster hunter, so obviously there's going to be lots of these kind of details. But those kinds of details add so much personality to all the different monsters. So if you have a similar sort of thing, like playing a monster hunter or using sort of specific kind of things in game, like whether it be attacking undead, you're playing a Templar character, or you're a werewolf hunter or a vampire hunter or some other kind of area, it's just cool when there are these specific kind of things, ingredients or things that you can use.
Yeah, well, except that way you get to use more of your arsenal rather than just your strongest sword, for example. And there's kind of like the academic aspect to it when you're kind of researching their nests or whatever. And you kind of, it tells a story if you happen upon the lair of a specific type of creature, rather than it just being, you know, a different kind of undead or something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting too, if you look at the lycanthrope effects, the benefits you can actually get in Daggerfall. I mean, it's like vampires. Let's bring back some more weaknesses, but some more benefits as well. But I particularly like how there are benefits to being a were creature in human form. You actually get +40, which is huge, to strength, speed, agility, and endurance. So you can actually really feel like I'm a werewolf now and I'm strong.
Yeah.
Like I'm very strong. Unfortunately, they don't raise it past 100, which I feel like arguably they should. Because if you're like a super strong warrior and you become a werebeast, it would be cool to be even stronger. But I mean, that applies to the human form too. So you can, and you get +30 as well to hand, so you can just like punch people and do more damage to climbing and running, which were skills in Daggerfall, stealth, swimming, jumping, and critical strike skills, which, you know, is cool. Also, obviously immune to all diseases, but interestingly, you actually had immunity to iron and steel weaponry.
Yeah, that's
so, and I mean, we saw this in games like Oblivion, remember, to strike like a ghost, I think you needed like silver or Daedric weaponry, like
silver Daedric or enchanted, I think also.
Yeah.
But like that, those kinds of things are so cool. Like the idea that you can just hit a ghost, some specter, with just like an iron sword, it kind of kills the fact that it's a ghost, because it functionally becomes like a human and it's not as scary anymore. Cause it's like, and that's the other thing. I remember in Oblivion, like you would try and explore these different things. It's the same as when unicorns had the same deal. The unicorn in Oblivion couldn't harm it with mortal weapons, needed Daedric enchanted or silver. And it's like, that's those kinds of things are really cool. I should
mention as well that one specifically in Daggerfall is only in werebeast form, which I think is completely fair.
One other quick thing I was just going to say, another way of doing it is certain materials, in the same way they're supposed to be using, like silver better against undead, other ways is they could draw on other real world mythologies and add things in. So for example, iron weapons are really weak and they're like not that great, but imagine if there are any sort of fairy kind of characters. So like there's like Irish kind of mythology, stuff where they would, you know, you would make like an iron key or something and put it under your baby's bed so that the fairies or like, or the fae or like changelings don't come and like take your baby and swap it or something like that. But if you used that kind of thing as like iron is powerful against fairies, you could take what is normally a very weak weapon type and have it, give it a niche use if there were so like fairy type enemies. Like, there's just lots of ways to make enemies more fun and engaging to play with, and also it merges the gameplay more with the lore, because like how with your lore knowledge, like, you know, Canis Root's more effective against a werebear, it, do you know what I mean, it kind of gives you
Then you could have like your tutorial wooden sword would be really good against a vampire or something. shove it right through their heart.
Yeah,
but like, just I just think those things are kind of cool, and it would be interesting. Let's talk about some of, so werebear, werebear, werewolf have all been in the games, and then we also get some more, I think, so we can talk about the werebat, which is kind of seems to be like a generic enemy in ESO, and it's kind of weird because,
but is that actually the lycanthropic one? Is it actually, or is it just called that, but then it wasn't? I remember there was some weird lore about that.
There was some weird lore about it, but I think since then it's been used in the Grey Host, so the big vampire slash werewolf army of in the Greymoor DLC. Like, so I don't know. And they, because they're an enemy type and you see them just around, they don't seem like, oh, they're a human that have just turned into it or something, but
It's going to be weird. Like, Michael, you mentioned the fact that the idea is that these lycanthropes, they maintain humanoid elements, but for some of these creatures, that's going to be quite hard to pull off. Like, you know, a werevulture and a werebat. That'll be slightly more difficult, but at the same time, straight up turning into a bat, that feels like much more of a vampire thing than a lycanthrope thing.
I mean, the werebats from Elder Scrolls Online do have humanoid features still, but they just look so much like a creature. Like, they're very much like taken away a lot of mortal.
And they're I don't know if we mentioned it, but they're native to Valenwood. And also the other sort of flying type, which you just mentioned, Drew, is the like were vultures as well, are also native to Valenwood. And apparently there were so many of them that they were Lentulus Inventius of the Order of the Thorn thought there were enough of a threat that he sought out werebears to help challenge them so that they didn't spread out just into the rest of
that. That's cool.
The idea that they would be Bosma, that these were vultures for the most part, because it does
just by population
because it does go against the Green Pact, doesn't it, to be a lycanthrope in general, which, you know, well, one of the reasons given for that is that, you know, that there's the story that Ifri created the Bosma from the ooze and gave them form from formlessness, so part of the Green Pact was never to break this and never to go against the form he gave you, which is a fair explanation. But then it also makes sense that he might just hate Hercene, because in the Khajiit mythology, Hercene was in love with Nerni, who, you know, is Nern, and she scorned him and chose Ifri. So Hercene then killed the Grat stag, like Ifri's beast, essentially, follower, and that's the face he wears is that stag. That they have a history with each other, and that would make sense why the Bosma should be against lycanthropy in general.
Yeah, I think for the most part they would be. It's because in the same way that, like, I mean, to be fair, most cultures are against lycanthropy everywhere. Like, it's not necessarily, it's usually the people on the fringes of society. The only culture that I can actually think of, like actual, like macro, like big size culture, is the Reachmen, the Reach folk, because they Hercene's such a big part of their thing. They see it as a useful gift and position differently.
At the same time, though, if it wasn't for the animosity between those two gods, it would make sense to me, at least, for the Bosma to embrace, like Firion Fropes, like to want to become. If you eat other animals, or if you feast on other, you know, living things in general, then why would that go against the Green Pact?
I guess because of the whole aspect of like, don't ever change your form. Like,
yeah,
you know,
well,
how
that's the only thing that
they
works
have the wild hunt ability, yeah, which is like a you know, shape-shifting thing, but only use it as an absolute last resort for the Bosma people. So I guess...
Well, that one particularly is so devastating that it creates new types of creature. It's so chaotic. Sure. So, yeah.
I just wanted to say about the werebats again, something that bugs me. I just feel like they're not were creatures. I guess they are, but like they spawn around dark anchors. Like...
They seem to be associated with Molag Bal, don't they? Thing. Yeah.
Like, because they're one part of the Grey Host. Batman, and then the other one, powerful werebat, sometimes encounter the dark anchors.
We know the real answer is that...
Oh, and encountered alongside, though, the werewolf. Yeah, okay.
It's one of those things where they throw these kind of creatures in as generic enemy types rather than these sort of more unique and rare monsters. But, yeah. If we were to move on to another one, is the werelion, which is native to elsewhere, Black Marsh and Cyrodiil. But we never see a werelion. But like, because remember, like I remember in the Gold Coast areas and certain areas of Cyrodiil, you find mountain lions, and that's kind of how I always imagine it—sort of a mountain lion looking creature. And I guess the male ones would have a mane, the females not. Like real lions would be cool, but we've never seen them. But that's another confirmed type.
You're gonna say I'm obsessed with werebats because I keep bringing it up. but here's werebat fact 50. If you actually look, there was a thing called a giant bat, which looks exactly the same, pretty much. Like, and it wasn't called werebat, just giant bat. Mm. And I feel like that's always been there. Was werebat added it's look, there's a thing called a giant bat that looks the same, not a werebat. Not a fan. How about that? They should redo that if it were to feature.
Trust in ESO, Michael. There's a reason, I'm sure.
It's one thing I hope doesn't happen with the future games is the sort of like enemy typeification, which we will get to. There's an egregious form of this later, but let's talk about the what else. Where there's the were crocodile of Black Marsh and Southern Morrowind, you know, lurking in swamps. You can kind of imagine what that would look like and be. And there is also the were shark, which there's no primary sources that confirm the existence of them.
A were crocodile is interesting because if an Argonian becomes a were crocodile, it kind of makes sense, and you could see how that transformation would happen. But I feel like any other race turning into a crocodile would be an absolute abomination. Like, even Hercene wouldn't be proud of.
Well, do you know what? It kind of reminds me of a Daedroth.
Mm.
You look at
we know can be a werewolf as well.
Oh, the were Daedroth.
Mm.
And wasn't that created by Hercene to fight?
Specifically to fight Shea Gorath. It's that classic story from the Accords of Madness where all it takes is a little...
Bird.
What is it, like a little singing bird to destroy a were Daedroth, which was infected with lycanthropy.
I don't know why. Like, I mean, I know it's infected with lycanthropy. When I guess if you consider Daedra as like, you know, people or like the Daedra version of people, do you know what I mean? Like they are an essence, like not necessarily like a stupid non-sentient creature, even though they look bestial. And so, for example, like, you know how there's frost atronachs, for example, that are completely cognizant and sort of have relationships, like Molag Bal's Molag Gronda fell in love with a frost atronach, and there's a conversation. Like, obviously, like, even though the Daedra sometimes have different forms, it's not necessarily that they're just mindless or...
But is it a corrupted human or is it a corrupted
I was
Daedroth
thinking it's literally because... a Daedroth that has become a were Daedroth.
Yeah, but think that is what it was.
But that... Okay, but when we look at the word werewolf, it's always like that's what the second become. Thing is what it's turning into. It's not a Daedroth were creature. So, because what's that based on? Because were creature isn't anything. Like a were...
What he specifically did was he said he summoned an ancient Daedroth and imbued it with the foul curse of lycanthropy.
Okay, so it is.
If it's Elder Scrolls talk where lycanthropy applies to any creature, it could just be allowing it to transform into a super Daedroth or something. But if it specifically refers to, you know, lycanthropy as in werewolf, then it would be a cross wolf Daedroth.
Yeah, no, I have I have a feeling then after hearing that it is a Daedroth enhanced.
Plus, I guess the idea of having like, you know, diseases and strains of things is kind of something that I imagine Daedric princes would tailor for mortal rules. Whereas I'm sure they can, I mean, as we've seen a million times, they can just transform Daedric creatures into other Daedric creatures.
Yeah. And I suppose it's not a very epic choice for Hercene to pick. Like, you could just pick a Daedroth, but it's like, I'm going to pick a man with Daedroth characteristics as my hero. Like, it's not as epic. So, yeah, it could be some just behemoth Daedroth looking thing.
I suppose one thing, since we were talking about Hercene as well, and the Daedra and so on, that becoming a lycanthrope ensures that your soul is going to his Daedric realm, the hunting grounds, where you'll remain for the rest of your existence. And obviously
hunting forever.
And that was a core part of the sort of companion's storyline, like kind of preferring, like, you know, Sovngarde versus going to the hunting grounds and so on for being a lycanthrope.
Which is something Hercene resents, is when he's like chosen, you know, he's given this gift to a mortal, and if they regret it and want to go back to normal, then he is much more upset, seeing as he, you know, is very proud of his lycanthropes.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Well, who wants to just absolutely cry right now? Let's talk about
some Elder Scrolls man beasts.
So
the man beasts.
So we kind of touched on this in Vampires with like there's blood knights and blood fiends and stuff like that. So they added these. Lycanthropy can manifest in several ways now because of ESO. So it's not necessarily you just turn into the full-on wolf. You basically turn into a furry. You basically just become this kind of very half-man, half-humanoid. Like, so it's not like, you know, the man-beast. There's like these... It's just like take a human, give him some furry cheeks and stuff and some furry features and maybe some little rawr claws, and then they're like walking around and they fight.
It looks terrible. Ways.
It's the same as like, and so there's this Vicosa, a werewolf lord, who's basically got a staff and is sort of like a mage kind of thing, but like it's just a slightly werewolfied kind of person. Like,
I don't really like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. What I actually do appreciate, and it would be cool to see potentially, I can see how it could ruin character aesthetics, but not that they don't already with vampire stuff. But you know how guards will say like, is that fur coming out of your ears? Like, it would be interesting, like just in real life mythology, when like someone becomes a werewolf, let's just say Drew turns into a werewolf and in his mortal form, suddenly he's just like quite hairy, but almost like believable, not like, I mean, like, like he looks like some monster. He's just like, oh dude, like what's going on? Your forearms look like,
because I always took the comments like, of the like hair in your ears is like kind of like, oh, out of, you've come out of a recent transformation and then there's like shedded hair in your ears or something like this, or you smell like a wet dog, not because you're bound to smelling like a wet dog forever, but because you had just sort of turned out of a werewolf form.
I mean, I like the very subtle aspects. Very subtle.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about like Michael J. Fox, Teen Wolf kind of aesthetic.
That's what these guys look like. These man beasts, these man bear.
Let me suss this out for a little. Oh gosh. Yeah. No, I don't want that. No. No.
Just don't
you.
Shave for a week and.
Yeah.
That's how. Like I just. Yeah, I don't know. It kind of like the other thing too. I think a component of like werewolves and so on is the kind of. You're unassuming, or there is the sort of like the terrifying component again is that you're walking around and then all of a sudden Sinding just turns into a werewolf and massacres a child out of nowhere. Whereas if you're walking around looking like a teen wolf, you're already like, what the hell's up? And you're like, already look like, you know, it's kind of.
I mean, there's also the werewolf behemoth, which, you know, it's all right. I'm not always the biggest fan of just like getting something and be like, you know what we should do? Make it bigger.
Gigantamax.
Bigger. Yeah. Just exactly. but you can.
And it's like its own thing. It's like Hercene can grant this to like a really good hunter. Like you can have werewolf behemoth form where you're just a massive.
If they're gonna MMOify things, I much prefer it when they do it like unexplained, like it's like, oh, this is just a bigger one, it's a boss. And it's sort of how they did it with the Minotaurs, and there's, I think it's Dormouse or something, I forget his name, but he's like the main big boss Minotaur, but he's just bigger because he just is, bro. He's the boss. But like, I'd rather that rather than trying to go, no, this is special X form, like power up Minotaur, you know.
So what you're saying what do they call it in lore videos? You're just like, he just is, bro.
That's it.
What do they call it in Pokemon where you have like the Mega?
Well, there's Mega Evolution, but then there's the Dynamax thing is the ones in the recent games where they just go big. It's like this, like,
It also says ordinary werewolves can become behemoths through alchemical alteration. I mean, it's okay. I don't know. I don't hate it. I'm just like, there's cooler things you can do. Like, if you're going to make new forms or change things with werewolves, there's better ideas than upscale.
Yeah. I think, it's a pretty... it's an atrocity, all right? It's just, let's call it what it is. It's
the behemoth or the man beast?
The man beast. The man behemoth beast. It's fine.
But and the werewolf lord is like not my favorite too. You could convince me that was like, oh, here's some really rare breed of Khajiit. Like, it's not
based certified cringe. Oh God.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I haven't really talked about, but it would be cool to give werewolves more drawbacks as well.
Yeah.
Because it's fun to talk about how they should be so, you know, super powerful. I know in Daggerfall they had more disadvantages, like you had to feed on innocence particularly, which I don't know if I like that because I don't know why innocent has anything to do with it, twice a month. So basically you have to kill an NPC or guard in a town every 15 days. If you don't, your max health will gradually decrease until it bottoms out at 4 HP. Once you have killed a peasant or guard, your max health will return to normal until you feel the need to hunt again. The transformations were every full moon and they happened automatically and you couldn't change it back for the duration of the whole day, which is pretty nuts. And once a year, a werewolf hunter would come after you, which is interesting.
See, like those kinds of drawbacks don't have to be like ability kind of things. It can be dependent on if you want to maintain this power, then like, you know, eating people or stuff like that. Like similar to how we're talking about with the vampire kind of stuff. Like it doesn't have to be like, oh, you just get this mega weakness to the sun or something or necessarily, or like keep scaling
those,
that
those
up.
Are cool.
Those
as
are
well.
Cool too, but I just mean like,
because in Skyrim, they just stripped it out completely. I'm not saying we need to enhance it beyond oblivion. Like, you go outside and just instantly die of sunburn.
Yeah.
But, cooler. Just more pluses and more minuses, you know?
Yeah, because you want... Look, ultimately... Look, here's the honest truth or review of Skyrim's werewolf situation, for example. You can join the companions and you can be a werewolf and you will never feel like a werewolf if you never press beast form.
It's not a playstyle changing thing unless you want it to be.
Exactly. It is no longer an intrinsic part of you that you're a werewolf. It makes no difference. It's just a power that you can turn on every now and then if you want. Whereas, obviously, in previous games, it's part of the experience that like you could, you know, change it at any given time or you had these sort of requirements you had to do. So having this monstrous power came with big costs and you know, even potentially changes to your morality, or you would have to cope with it or whatever. It just makes it a more interesting sort of conundrum rather than just here's an extra power for you. And the same sort of thing that, like, you know, ideal vampires has done better in that regard, I think, because it actually changes the way you play and act to a degree. Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned it. Maybe one of you two did already, but it isn't also just a blessing that Hercene can give you. Like, you can catch it as a disease.
Yeah.
In Daggerfall, what is it called? Sanguine, Sanes lupinus. Yeah, it wouldn't be sanguine. That would be the vampire one.
Yeah, but it's something. It's also so it's once again one of those things that's kind of like, it seems like you get it from like, you know, claw strikes or whatnot, and it's kind of contagious on them, but like Aella could also, you could drink the blood and then become one.
There's a variety of ways. Yeah, Sanes lupinus, disease caught from werewolves.
Yeah.
Oh, say they did it the same as vampires. 3 days, otherwise you become a werewolf. They have it in Blood Moon.
And we do also, like, and obviously as opposed to, and we kind of mentioned this and touched on this, as opposed to vampires, that Murlock Bale does not care, clearly. And he's done it just to, like, ruin things and corrupt things. Whereas her scene genuinely cares a lot. And, like, there's one example when there's a Nordic guy called Thane Icehammer was hunting down these werewolves. And then, you know, her scene then stabbed him with the Spear of Bitter Mercy in return for that and killed him. Yeah, it's like you can see him there being protective of his own children even, or so on. And, you know, obviously wanting to take their souls to the hunting ground and hunt eternally after
the death. It's one reason why I think it is a little weird that it is just kind of a contagious disease, is that for Molag Bal with vampirism, that makes total sense. But you couldn't... It'd be weird to imagine that her scene would want just some random person who has never hunted in their life, has no interest in hunting, would want them to contract lycanthropy to be part of his, you know, his hunting pack. But there you go. I guess they operate in mysterious ways.
She knows in mysterious ways.
It's interesting. In Legend of Thane Icehammer, it talks about how he didn't actually know they were werecreatures. Like, he was just on this hunting trip and happened to kill them, which I find kind of weird. Like, how don't... I mean... What else is it?
Well, big will. Oh, that, to be fair, though, I guess in the Elder Scrolls, there are, like, so many more monsters that a werewolf could be. Like, for example, if we saw a werewolf, we'd be like, yeah, that's clearly not a normal creature. Whereas there's so many other weird creatures.
I mean, I suppose if it was a werebear, too, because it says werecreature, imagine just seeing the bear's head. And imagine you're an archer as well.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be strange.
Michael, you've said this in the past, I think on the Hurt, maybe in the Her Scene episode, but it's a bit unusual that if Thane Icehammer was so good at this, that he wouldn't be rewarded, seeing as those, at the end of the day, those werecreatures will just head to the hunting grounds where they live in an eternity of, you know, heavenly sport.
But for sure, it's one of those stories that make Daedric Princes far more, I guess, human in their emotions and their decision-making. Yeah. It's not like a perfect objective, like, these are my rules and therefore I do this. One day, her scene may feel like rewarding a hunter, and the next day, how dare you kill my children, my werecreatures, I'm going to do something really bad to you. Mm. Which, I don't know, it is interesting, but sometimes I actually like the more set-in-stone vibe, because it can lead to more, I don't know, people seeking it out more. Like, for example, you're far less tempted to go and seek out the blessing if you think, oh, her scene might just kill me, even though I'm a really good hunter, just because.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's also a lot of these people, like, don't have the sort of, like, complete knowledge of everything.
Of course.
So they wouldn't really factor it in, I think.
That's why you turn to Jigalag, because he can be trusted. You know what he thinks, you know his rules, and they ain't changing.
Pretty boring, though. But
I suppose we've sort of covered for the most part. There's also, like, artifacts, which you've kind of touched on. Like, Hercene's ring is the paramount one. There are also that allows you in the lore to control the transformations. Whereas in Solstheim, actually, there's a couple of rings that you can get in the Dragonborn DLC from the Frostmoon pack that's there, which give you various different benefits. And there is also these, what's interesting too, is like these totems in, the companions that you can retrieve for the companions, which can give different powers. And
like being able to summon spectral werewolf allies to your aid is, I don't know. It's interesting.
I hate that part. And I feel like what they were trying to do anyway is wanting to be able to, like, call wolves or call in other werewolves. But, like, let's have them physical rather than, like, just summon.
Out of curiosity, why do you hate it?
Just because it makes it seem more magical and less bestial. Like, I left.
I kind of imagine it like a danger, like you're summoning them from the hunting ground so they get to hunt on Earth. Like, not on Earth, on Nurnagain.
I mean, that's how I felt too. Cool, but I guess I agree with both of you. I like Drew, what you're saying makes sense. I can just remember when I was playing it and I feel like the description of the power was a bit vague potentially. I just remember feeling disappointed when I summoned them and they were glowing red. Where are the real ones?
Because obviously some things can be rationalized. Heaps of things can be in Elder Scrolls lore. Yeah. But there are things that seem more like that meld better with the theme of something. And like for me personally, and I don't know, maybe people disagree, but I think the theme of a werecreature is this sort of bestial, sort of monstrous, very physical, bloodlust, ripping, physical kind of thing. Or there is also sort of like the pax element and the animalistic stuff. So when I hear the word magical summoning from a Daedric realm, I don't really think werecreature, and I don't really think they kind of fit nicely together. So after the fact, you can kind of work it. Like, I think it would be cooler if you did this massive howl and then these werewolves or wolves come running from the side, so on, because you're a beast calling other beasts to assist you, as opposed to like summoning my magic, summoning jutsu, bang, here's two werewolves. Yeah. Like, it's different, you know?
Be interesting if, like, you from a lore perspective, you hear that howl and that can set off a transformation or something like that when you're in the middle of the town.
Well, like, do you know the other ones too? Like, even there, like, obviously how it functions in gameplay terms is the fear of terror is like, oh, fear spell. But the way I'm interpreting it is you're actually just so terrifying and scary that they're running because they've got fear. It's not like I cast fear on you, but they're just doing it for, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you just make everything like a spell, it starts to feel a bit like Dragon Shouts, which, I mean, it was the same button, wasn't it? Like, you just press it to roar or summon wolves or
power button.
Rain lightning wolves, that'll be next.
Yeah, and then, because if you follow this all the way, what you do is you get the werewolf lord who's got a staff.
Yeah, that was... I guess we could talk about curing it as well. Yeah. Like, similarly to curing vampirism, curing being a werewolf is not straightforward. In Skyrim,
just shave.
Yeah, just shave just all the hair off. Yeah. Just bathe in, what is it, Veet? Veet. So, yeah, in Skyrim, obviously, at the end of the companions, you cure Kodlak with the Glenmoral Witch Coven's heads. You throw it in that fire in Isgrimmar's tomb. And
which is interesting.
Kill the spirit wolf. And you can cure yourself as well.
Well, that's just an interesting precedent there that you can cure lycanthropy after death, after the fact. And then it changed it and it pulled him from the, you know, sort of hunting grounds into Sovereign Guard kind of thing, which is interesting. Yeah. But once again, like with the Glenmoral Head Witch, that was very specific because they were the ones who facilitated this whole curse of the companions. So it seems like obviously in other areas it would be more specific. I can't remember the Blood Moon, the deal with it in Blood Moon or Daggerfall.
I can tell you a little fun fact. Did you know you can actually cure Farkas and Vilkas? A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's because it's random. Because you, like, look, let's be real. Who does heaps of companions like generic quests? Because it's one of those things, isn't it, where you do lots of the generic quest and then it comes up with like, oh, cure Vilkas or cure Farkas, in the same way that the totems are just like kind of quests that get given to you by Ayla, but not like sometimes she could give you random chores in between.
You actually use the Glenmoral Witches in Blood Moon as well to cure your lycanthropy.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It's the Glenmoral... Is it pronounced weird? I always... Word.
It's actually just weird. Is it weird?
I always thought it's just weird because of the like the weird sisters from Shakespeare. But I could be wrong.
No, I think it's like a old Saxon, old English word. Weird.
Yeah.
For because I think I was called... I think it is word.
Huh.
It's a concept in Anglo-Saxon culture roughly corresponding to fate or personal destiny.
Let me listen to this.
I thought it was just weird still. But yeah, okay. Either way.
Oh, this says weird. I don't know. This says weird. Whatever I just listened to.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
We can look it up later.
So.
But yeah, so with that, how do you do it in that? I'm pretty sure you actually... There's berries involved. Road to the cure. Belladonna berries.
Yeah.
Get these berries, which are common. Then you go to this altar. Then you kill an innocent Nord on the altar and take her heart. And then give the heart to Etienne, who performs a ceremony, and give you back the heart of the wolf, which you are to place back into the corpse of the innocent Nord. So don't dispose of the corpse when you first get the heart. Once the heart is placed back in the corpse, you have to kill the new werewolf you just created by giving the innocent Nord the heart of the wolf and your lycanthropy with it. Then the corpse on the altar turns into a werewolf and attack you, and then you kill it. That's crazy.
It's a bit convoluted, isn't it?
But it's pretty cool.
Must be a pain to pull off.
Yeah.
Especially when you can't Google it.
Well, like these things should be hard to... Like, hot take, vampirism, I don't know even if it's hot take, I just keep like offering these lukewarm takes, calling them hot takes, but like vampirism and lycanthropy should be complicated and hard to get rid of, because otherwise everyone could get rid of it easily in the law.
Yeah, was there some law somewhere, I think this is vampire's law, where imperial like government or something like that, or society, they actually kind of like would get rid of knowledge on curing vampirism, basically,
so that people wouldn't willingly contract it.
Yeah,
I read that too.
Because if everyone knew, oh, I can just get it, muck around with it, I'll cure it if I want to, it's common knowledge, then, I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, if I told you that, like, it's so easy to cure and I could prove it, you'd probably test out.
Yeah, just dabble.
Dabble and...
crazy weekend.
That's the... Yeah, boys. Let's all get on the vampirism and go have some fun. You know? Yeah, it sounds pretty crazy and it wouldn't be useful for society, so...
Hmm.
Yeah. But no, I agree. It should be hard to cure. It makes it feel more impactful as well when you make a decision like, I'm going to become this and I know if I want to, you know, revert, it's going to be tough, or at least a challenge.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that, unless you guys had anything else to add.
No.
I think that's it then.
That's it.
Lycanthropes. I'm hoping Elder Scrolls 6 will get some werebores, because
yeah.
I feel like they're cool. And they've actually been in the game before, so they've got some inspirations.
It's the perfect place to do it. Yeah. And look, you just keep hearing, you know, Todd talk about how ambitious and stuff the game is meant to be. I used to be more reserved with my wishes for Elder Scrolls 6. Like, oh, you know, let's make it within realism of what Bethesda would do. Now I'm just getting greedy because they're making us wait longer. I'm like, no, have this, have that. You're saying it's some next-gen super crazy thing? Do it.
In the same way we wanted to sort of like just say if there's like two or three different vampire bloodlines or so on, it would be easy enough to have werewolves and werebores.
100%. Makes sense.
Like,
it's the same
exactly
as like,
what they did in Daggerfall.
Look, it's the same as being like, oh, I'd rather it just be one province done really well. I still stand by it, but in my head now, I'm just like, do both provinces really well.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we have to wait 15 years for
yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Anyways, thank you everyone for watching. Thank you for supporting the channel. If you want to get a sick Fudge Muppet tea, there is a link in the description. Social media links are down there too, and we all look forward to seeing you next time.